the Lord has prepared a great banquet for you. And my older brother is going to bring the message this morning. So let's invite up Dr. Jonathan Fung. Come on, everyone. Have a great time. How are you feeling, bro?
I'm good.
All right. Take it away.
I'd like you guys to stand up for a second. And I'd like you to high-five the people around you and tell them that they have a beautiful heart and that God wants to use them today.
God's going to use you.
Yeah, thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to continue to pour out. We feel your presence in this place. I pray that each one of us would feel just the presence of God right now. And that you would speak to each one of us individually. That your word, your message would be powerful and applicable. And that we would do something with that today. We thank you, Lord God, for being so awesome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How's everybody doing? Good? Everyone feeling the presence of God in this place? So this past Thursday and Friday, I attended the Global Leadership Summit with a group from our church. And we listened to 16 speakers talk about leadership from a business perspective to a Christian perspective. I was really inspired by various points of view. And at lunchtime, I was able to have a nice conversation with three of our youths from this church, Kevin, Ray, and Shim. And we started talking about the conference, and I asked each of them what leadership quality that they valued. And Ray talked about humility. And that got us thinking about humility and how Jesus served. So then I asked them, you know, what was one thing in the Bible that they saw how Jesus served humbly? And we started to wrestle and think about, you know, how could that be possible? And then after that, I asked them, you know, I'm going to be giving the message today. What would engage you? What would you want me to do so you could leave the message feeling inspired? And they told me, give us some tools so we can lead from where we are with the skills that we have, with what we have inside. You know, how do we use that? So prior to the conference, Holy Spirit put in my heart to talk about leadership. Going to the conference was not accidental. And talking to the three young men started to help me shape what the Holy Spirit has for us today. So I've been keeping that in mind with every step of the message. How can we use what we have to be a leader like Jesus? A paradox. A paradox is a statement or proposition that seems self-contradictory or absurd, but in reality expresses a possible truth. So these are some examples of a paradox. How many of you can relate to the first one? Children bring joy and pain to parents. Yeah. Marriage is bliss and hard work. And Jesus said, leaders are servants. John Maxwell, who is a pastor, speaker, author, says, true leadership must be for the benefit of the followers, not to enrich the leader. So, my message this morning, church, is about servant leadership. And my hope is that many of us will work towards being a servant leader today. Now, if we look at Jesus' life, we see that everything he did was in service to his mission. Jesus led first as a servant to his Father in heaven, who gave him his mission. His personal mission was to serve not his own, but the will of his Father. So if we can put that in context, just think rhetorically to yourself, how do you lead? How do you serve? Is it like Jesus, who was devoted to his Father's mission, his will, that was the only thing that he was concerned about, not his own will? So Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." John 6:38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." So submission to God for your life is the first step to servant leadership. So Kevin, Ray, and Shim, and the others, everyone else in this church, the first step is submit to God. Your mission and purpose in life come from the relationship that we have with God. Leadership begins when a God-revealed mission captures a person's heart and they turn leader as they become servant to the mission. In other words, if we have a strong relationship with the Lord, we have quiet time, we're in the Word, we're able to hear his voice, we're able to feel things in our heart that he's speaking to us, he will put vision, a mission on our heart. So we are so excited about that, so passionate to carry out the mission of our Father. And then we become a leader because we start to serve the mission, not having others serve us. Then we start to recruit people, equip them to fulfill the mission together as a team, not as a leader in the world telling people what to do. Today, I had the privilege of helping with the grill. I was asked if our group X Factor could help out today, and we definitely said, yes, we can be there. And I was just really amazed at observing, as I was helping, just the different facets of setting up the grill. And Jerry was overseeing our group, what we had to do. And I was just asking God, okay, reveal to me just how your spirit is working as a servant leader. And so Jerry was showing us what had to be done. You know, Tricia, Allison, John, and myself were just looking on the list, collaborating, working together. Nobody was ordering anybody. Nobody was pushing anybody to do one thing. But we just knew we had to get all these items done on the list and that we needed to do it together. And it was just really a pleasant experience to prepare for the grill. And then I started to look around and I saw Kevin and I saw Dave, you know, bringing the tables out. There's a lot of picnic tables out there and they're not that light. They're setting them all up. They're cleaning them. They're preparing for the grill when we go there after church. And I started to look at, it starts with having a servant's heart. It starts with not trying to get a title or be in front, but it starts with just doing what needs to be done to fulfill the overall mission. Then I came in here and I started seeing the tech team, Lisa and Chris and Gary and Jerry, just working independently and together to prepare for the service. And the worship team was preparing. And I'm thinking, okay, my role today is to be the messenger. Everything that had to take place to prepare this service took a lot of people. Took a lot of humility. You know, me coming up here to speak was out of obedience to Pastor Louis, who asked me a few weeks ago to speak on leadership. And I'm doing my part, my role. But it's the others that have made this service possible, along with the greeters and the hospitality team. And so the next time you come to service next week, just look around. Look what everybody does. That everybody has an individual role to play, but it's at the expense of a greater vision, a greater mission. It's to bring the presence of God here that we feel, to worship Him, and to leave inspired by the God that we serve. Bill Hybels, founding and senior pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, said, "Jesus left the perfect setup in heaven to take on the form of a human and lose his life for others. If you want to be truly great," okay, listen to this, church. "If you want to be truly great, then the direction you must go is down. The direction you must go is down. You must ascend into greatness. At the heart of this paradox is still another paradox. Greatness is not a measure of self-will, but rather self-abandonment. The more you lose, the more you gain." So, boys, that's another thing that we could be thinking about, is we need to descend into greatness. So Matthew 10:39 says, "If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it." So those of us that are trying to aspire, to reach our goals, to attain a certain title, to increase our salary, to have a higher status, what's going to happen is we're going to start losing that. We're going to be losing ourselves. We're going to be moving further away from what God's purpose, His destiny, His plan for us is. But if we give our life to Him, then we will find true purpose. We will find that joy. We will experience the fruits of the Spirit. I think all of this seems very challenging, because it is. Because it is counterculture. That Jesus' teachings is counter to the culture that we live in. So that makes it even more difficult when we see out in our world and through media that it's about yourself. It's about living a good life. It's about being at the top, top-down leadership. It's about having the power and the control. But Jesus says it's not that at all. It's about letting go. So I have 7 servant leadership principles that we can take a look at here. And these are things that we can put to use. These are good action items, things that we can walk away with. So as I'm going through these, I'd like you to just be praying to yourself, asking the Holy Spirit, which one of these principles can I work on? Which one of these principles should I work on? And I think it starts with the humble heart. For us to make any changes, we have to humble ourselves. We have to submit to the Lord. The first is humble your heart. Servant leaders humble themselves and wait for God to exalt them. In other words, they're not, God is saying, don't always try to be in the spotlight. Don't always go up first. Don't always be at the head of the table. Lay back. Stay back. You know, God will exalt you when the time is right. You don't need to push it and try to exalt yourself. Principle two, be a follower. So you can still be a leader and a follower. Principle two, servant leaders follow Jesus rather than seek a position. So since we live in a society that advocates success, how do we do this? You know, how can we really follow Jesus with our heart? Especially if we're working in the marketplace, where it dictates that we need to be driven, that we have to be task-orientated and multitask and continue to keep pushing. And the more you can do, the more your employer is going to give you. The more competent you are, the more the workload increases. How can we pull back and put Jesus first? He says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then everything will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Challenging principle, but I think one that we need to give some thought and how we can do this individually. Principle three, find greatness in service. Servant leaders give up personal rights to find greatness to serve others. So it's not about our own agenda. It's not about our own personal goals. Jesus is looking for us to serve. The motto of our church is here to serve. And I think we serve very well. Like I said, next service, look around at what everybody is doing, because you'll see a lot of servants' hearts. But where can we all participate? Where can each one of us chip in to serve this church? Or to serve at your kid's school? Or to serve at work? Or to serve in your neighborhood? Principle four, take risks. Servant leaders can risk serving others, but they trust that God is in control of their lives. So we need to know that God is in control of our life. That sometimes we may think that if we serve, we're going to lose time, that we could be doing something else. If we continue to serve, then maybe we're missing out on something else. But again, if we put Jesus first, our heart will become more like his, and we'll take those risks to go to Mexico and take a week off and come back and pick up where you left off. Because I know those that went to Mexico had to sacrifice. Those that are parents, those that are single, and those that are students ready to come back to start the new semester. There was sacrifice involved. There was a risk involved for going to Mexico. Principle five, take up the towel. Servant leaders take up Jesus' towel of servanthood to meet the needs of others. So Jesus humbled himself. He washed his disciples' feet, even though they felt uncomfortable, even though Peter resisted. It was a great act of humility. It's not like washing our feet. They had sandals. They had donkey dung all over their feet. They had stuff, I mean, that had to be really cleaned. That was foul. And he knelt and he washed his disciples' feet. What greater act of just humility than that? What can we do to take up the towel? What can we do to display an act of humility without trying to get any credit, without telling others what you did, but just by doing, because God put it in your heart to be humble. Principle 6, share responsibilities and authority. Servant leaders share the responsibility and authority with others to meet a greater need. So it's not about top-down leadership. It's about bottom-up leadership. It's about spreading out the authority, spreading out the gifts so others can feel a part of a team, so others can be on the mission together, so others can reach the goal and rejoice together. How many of you have been watching the Olympic Games? I mean, every night we've been watching the games because it's been so awesome just to hear the personal stories, to hear their journeys of sacrifice, to see how far they've come. But for me, it's been just joyful to watch those that stand on the platform with a medal and with tears down their eyes because of all the people that helped them. That it wasn't just Michael Phelps that won 28 medals on his own. It was everybody that helped him when he was a little boy, before he even got into the pool. That was a team of people that helped him. And it's interesting because Allison told me, she was listening to Caleb, and that Michael Phelps, you know, he had a dark period in his time after the last Olympics. But he started reading Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. And he really was engaged with that book. And he like gave his life to Christ. And I don't know if you remember him in the London Games 4 years ago, but he was a little bit more arrogant. He wasn't as a team-type player in his interviews. But his spirit changed. And the other swimmers call him Pastor Mike, because all he does is talk about this book and about God, and you know, and his life is changing, and you know, you could see that, and that was really inspiring to hear that story and to start watching him, you know, in his interviews and how he embraces his teammates. So 7, principle 7, build up a team. Servant leaders multiply leadership by empowering others to lead. Our life group leaders are encouraged to have a co-leader, to disciple, so hopefully one day that they could lead another life group. That our church is about discipleship, about equipping one another, about mentoring one another, so we can do those things that God has us to do, reflecting our spiritual gifts and our talents. Has anyone watched the gymnastics part of the Olympics? I'm going to bring up this one slide. I don't know if you saw Ellie Downing, who's from the Great Britain. Well, she was doing a third pass on the floor, a front flip, and her legs kind of gave out, and she ended up on her neck. She continued, but then she had to stop in the middle of her floor routine, and the medical staff came to her. She was dizzy. They helped her off. But it was crazy, because moments later, she came back out to compete in the vault, and the crowd was stunned. Her old teammates, her sister, was like, you know, are you crazy? But in an interview, she said that she didn't want to let her team down, that she wanted to help her team qualify for the finals. And so, to me, when I watched that, I couldn't get that out of my mind, because this was an act of servant leadership, that she's the captain of their team, but through her example, she came back out. Still days, probably, I'm sure sore, but came back out to vault and Great Britain made it into the team finals. You see, servant leadership isn't about being in front. It's not being at the head of the table. It's not being about having a title. There's many ways that we all can be servant leaders. And this was one way that really impressed me. She didn't say anything. It was her actions and her love and care for her teammates that brought her back out. Let me share a personal story with you. My cousin contacted me this week because she needed some help. Her son was remanded by the court because he has a drug addiction. He's had a serious drug addiction for the past 6 years. He's in his mid-20s. So she emailed me if I could possibly go to court with her. She can't really drive that well because she had a major brain tumor, and so she has a lot of double vision. And through that, she has really bad glaucoma in one eye. And so I didn't respond right away, but I started thinking about things, praying, how should I get involved with this? Because I've spoke to her son before. We've had opportunities for me to share the gospel, to talk to him about City Team rescue mission, to get him in a program, but he wasn't ready at the time. And so God started to put in my heart that maybe I need to show some leadership here and help her, because her brother was just diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Her mother has stage 3 dementia. Her husband now is restrained from their house because of domestic violence. And so she's going through a difficult time. And she doesn't know where to turn. And she mentioned to me that she didn't know what she would do if she couldn't talk to me openly, because her family doesn't know anything about any of these things that she's been going through, except her own health. So God put in my heart to, okay, be there for her, drive her to the court, take her to Elmwood, help her through this process to relieve her stress, and maybe give her direction to equip herself to deal with a drug addict. She's lost most of her savings because of the bail bonds, court fees. You know, she's retired. So God started speaking to me that there's so many different ways that we could display being a servant leader, being a humble servant like Jesus. How many of you know what the S word is? The S word? I'm not going to ask Pastor Valui. He knows what the base word is. S word. Okay, S word is submission. Submission to God is the first step to servant leadership. This is something we all can do when we leave. Submission to God is the first step to servant leadership. Then Jesus said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." So what I would like us to do now is have a response to what the Holy Spirit is ministering to us right now. And if we can put the response up there, it says, "What is one thing you can do to work towards becoming a servant leader at home, at school, church, or at work?" And I want us to give us a time of prayer and reflection. So if we can just take a moment here for you and God to connect, for the Holy Spirit to give you some insight and some guidance. What's one thing, only one thing, that you can do at work, home, school, or church to be a servant leader? Dear Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. And you've modeled everything in your word for how we should live. I pray now that your spirit would touch each of our hearts, that we would humble ourselves on our own free will in your sight, that we would get on our knees, Lord God, at home, and seek your face, that we would put our own will and desires aside and do the will of our Father. Holy Spirit, reveal that one thing for us to work towards being a servant leader, either at home, at work, at church, or at school. Speak to our hearts, Lord God. And guide us, Holy Spirit, and lead us into servant leadership. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.